At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Get out now. No doubt now.
It's the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander. Hope you're doing well during these strange times. It's time for another installment of our betting profile series during this global pandemic. Hope you've been enjoying them. Lots of folks, lots of interesting folks throughout the sports betting industry, kind enough to spend time with us and lend their insights. Today, a couple guys, Ed Miller and Matthew David Dow. They started out as poker players, not originally in their lives, but that's how they first met each other, then later reconnected playing DFS baseball, wrote a book together. We'll talk about that, the logic of sports betting, and now are doing big things with their company, Deck Prism Sports. Ed Miller, Matthew David Dow. It's the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, the sports betting network. Gil Alexander, thanks for joining us this morning on the show. That's how we always start this. A continuation of what has been a series during this pandemic of profiles of folks in the betting industry, not just professional bettors, but those who have all kinds of different angles in the sports betting industry. And we've been blessed here to have so many spend their time with us during these last 3-4 months. Alan Boston, Rufus Peabody, Spanky, Ray Marino from Bookmaker, Dr. Bob, Alan Dinkinson, on and on, Joe Pita. I'm leaving some folks out, so I don't mean to upset whoever I forgot, but it's been a bunch. And when I came back here from vacation, I thought to myself, I got to get these two gentlemen back on the show because they are doing so many different things that I'd be remiss to not include them in this series. And they're kind enough to join me in studio again. They're the authors of The Logic of Sports Betting, but longtime affiliation with all things betting. It's Ed Miller and Matthew David Dow once again, or David Dow, excuse me, back on the show. How you guys doing, man? Appreciate you spending the time.
Yeah, thank you for having us back.
Yeah, thanks, Gil.
I listened back to our time together about a year ago when the book first came out. So I want to try to, as much as possible, not repeat what we talked about then. But with everybody during this series that I've done, I always want to start at the beginning in that sort of James Lipton inside the actor's studio kind of way. We didn't talk about this last time. How did you both grow up? Let's start with you, Ed. Where did you grow up? What was your first experience with anything betting where it sort of lit a bulb for you?
So I'm from New Orleans. I grew up in New Orleans, went to high school there, and then went off for college. And my first interest in gambling was in blackjack. I read one of those early books about the, you know, card counting and blackjack, and I don't know, in the 90s. And in college, kind of it always, you know, I don't know, it's something about it stuck with me. And I had this idea that I was going to move to Vegas, be a blackjack player, And that didn't happen. I went to Microsoft and was a software engineer.
A little different.
But that's when I started gambling. Was that was when online poker was really getting going. So online poker was my first real time gambling. You know,
pre bringing down the house, a different blackjack book we're talking about.
It was it was before. It was before that book had been written. It was like the nerdy ones where they teach you the system and how to do this and I read a couple of those and.
Did your parents have any
none
basis? So
no, they were horrified by the whole
thing. They were horrified.
Well, my mom, she was not.
Is she still horrified?
Well, she's an English professor and she was horrified until I wrote my first book and then she was okay with it.
You said I listened back to our first show. You wrote 9 books on poker?
Yeah.
Nine. It's tremendous output. So okay, but did you know, so when you read that book, did it hit you in a way that nothing else had? Like, did you know at that moment, even if you did go to Microsoft first, you're like, somehow I'm going to end up doing something related to this?
I didn't know professionally, like, at all. I definitely didn't have any, concept that this was going to be my career until, like, I was several years into it, really.
You're like, I guess this will stick.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, I was, I always like playing games. I like playing games from when I was, a little kid, just consistent interest. And to me, it was like how, this is a way you can make money playing games. That's cool.
Matthew, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in suburban Pittsburgh. And
we don't hear that in this business at all.
No, never. I haven't met anyone from Pittsburgh so far. my experience growing up was definitely different. And I always wanted to gamble. I grew up, I remember sitting in like math class or something in junior high, and I figured out that if I could just win 2 out of every 3 of my sports picks, I would have quite a bit of money in no time.
That's all, just 2 out of 3.
Yeah, when I was the kid in high school that, we played poker with our friends. I hung out some in the pool hall, played some. We used to play a game called Guts. We 2-card guts. Everyone gets 2 cards. You sit around like the table at the pool hall, one by one, and you say guts or no guts, and it's just the best 2-card poker hand. But then, if nobody says guts, he gets to the last player. If everyone folds, and the last player takes the pot, so it's just a complete bluffing game, and figuring out the correct, from a game theory standpoint of how much to bluff was worth a lot in that game.
Ed Miller, Matthew David Dow, authors of The Logic of Sports Betting and the co-founders of a business that we'll get to here during the hour that really takes up all their time these days. So you came to Vegas as well. You were both in Vegas. You knew each other from playing poker, correct?
Yeah, I think we met in the Bellagio 1530 game a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember if you liked each other? Do you remember if you were like, that guy kind of thing?
Well, Ed was already very famous on 2+2 and stuff at that time. So, he was a, me as what, I was 23, 24 years old and just moved to Vegas to, go to the Bellagio every day to play poker, which was a big step up from the games I had played in, other casinos elsewhere, to meet somebody like Ed, who, like I said, already at the time was, preeminent poker authority. Ed Miller was something.
So you drift or you do your own thing for a few years, 3-4 years, the both of you. And then unbeknownst to the both of you, you both sort of gravitate towards daily fantasy, was it?
Yeah, that was what it was.
And you and it was baseball specifically, was it?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did that, connection where you're like, you do this, and when did you, take it from your perspective, Ed, when did you think to yourself, good dude, how funny it is that we ended up doing this at the same time. We both obviously have some sort of advantage play blood in us to, I could work with this guy.
I mean, it was pretty fast. We got connected on we both got independently consulted on a fantasy sports company. Mm-hmm. That was kind of how we got connected, and I kind of showed him I'd built a whole little system to build my lineups for me and everything, and so I showed him that, and
one of those,
and and basically we figured out that we were really had independently come to a very similar approach on how to win at the game, and I don't know, I think that was pretty fast.
In those days, I mean, you guys sound like, you know, we have Richard Munchkin a lot on the network. He's the ultimate sort of advantage player. If there's an advantage to be had, he gravitates towards it. There's so many of, you know.
I like Richard.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah. Absolutely great guy. And there's so many people who, not so many, but there's a group of folks that we all are aware of that's how they conduct their lives. Would you have considered either of you that type of person? Was that in your DNA? Like if there was advantage play checkers across the room, would you have found that game and tried to exploit that for however long you could?
I mean, me more so than Ed,
for sure. But
at the same time, I do not have an actual background in advantage play. While I know and hugely respect a lot of the people in that field, there's just some of the sharpest minds. I was always aiming on a larger scale, for, you know, lack of a better term, you know, trying to do, you know, particularly sports, you know, working on our models, our pregame, and then we start working in-game models about what it's almost been 7 years now.
Wow.
And I've always been much more focused on more of the larger picture gambling than, okay, how do I show up at this casino and beat this blackjack game?
Okay. So the logic of sports betting is why we had you on the first time. We could have had you on for any number of reasons. I had followed Ed for years, perhaps unbeknownst to him. But the logic of sports betting, which we're looking here at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's Link, Game Plus. This was, and again, I, you know, in preparation for this today, I listened back to the 30 or 40 minutes we talked last time. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I didn't do it justice because I kept harping on, you know, this is, and I still believe this. To me, this is the best sports betting book I've ever read. And that remains. But the way I couched it last time was everybody who's starting out in sports betting should absolutely start by reading this book. Do it the right way. That remains. But what I didn't say is that this is also a book not just for beginners, for people who have bet sports for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. It's just as valuable. I mean, maybe if you're starting, it's the most valuable for sure. But I think there were things that, and we were talking about this before the show, there were things that I read in there, and I'm by no means, you know, the guy who's been at this for 30, 40 years, but there were certainly things in there that I read where I'm like, you know, maybe I knew this in my head intuitively, but I didn't really think of it this way kind of thing. And there were things that you're just reminded of. I just, the brilliance of the book to me is when I was being reared on sports betting, there were lots of books out there and they would have their moments that would hit me. But most of it was too wonky for my younger brain to really latch onto and to really be excited about. This is a book that anybody, I could send this to my mother. By the way, you bring up your mother. My mother who says, oh, one of my sons is a doctor, the other, I'm not really sure. Right? So I could give this to her, and I promise you, she would give it a go, and she would get something out of this. That's how well written this was, in my opinion. And I'm sure this was part of your whole thinking of, we got to make this relatable. And to that extent, you were just brilliant in how you guys did it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, just thank you for all the nice things you said about the book, obviously. The thing that I would say, I think in-play betting is new for everybody, mm-hmm. You know, and some people have said to me, well, that was a great book. It's a good beginner book. And I was like, you didn't know the stuff about the in-play betting in there. Like,
right.
You know, I think that, you know, and so. So,
anybody who claims that they knew everything, probably not being 100%.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Honest. That's kind of how I feel. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have interrupted.
No, I mean, that's...
I mean, just to sort of... By the way, I have two copies here of Logic Sports Betting signed by the authors. Nick, how do we give this away? Do we take caller 106 at 106 KML Jams? Like, how do we do this? Can we figure out a way to do it on Twitter or something?
Maybe.
What's that?
Twitter contest, maybe?
Yeah, let's do a Twitter. We'll think about it on the break. We'll give away two copies of this. But there was... I'm thinking a year after I read it, I'm thinking, what do I... Like, what's the headline of what I remember? And I keep coming back to... First of all, I remember Price Discovery. We talked about that a lot. But then there was angles versus trends. I remember being a sort of interesting thing. But the thing I talked about with you last time, which more than anything sticks in my brain, the approach of using multiple outs to get a zero synthetic hold. I talk about on this show all the time. People who talk about sports betting talk about all the time, all the time about shopping for the best prices.
Right.
But you guys couched it in this other way, where I'm like, why hasn't anybody else done it? Could you explain what I meant by that sentence right there about zero synthetic hold?
Sure. So in general, you know, people obviously talk about shopping for the best price all the time, and I think a lot of the time they come at it with, well, I have a bet I want to make. I want to bet on the Packers. And so now my job is to, like, look at the odds site, the comparator site, or, you know, just check a bunch of sports books and see who has the best price on the Packers, right? And in the book, we kind of, you know, we say, well, look at odds shopping a different way, right? Instead of having in your mind, this is the bet I want to make, let's find the best price, look for the markets where there are opportunities. Right. So instead of having in preconceived, oh, I want to make this bet or that bet, say what markets are out there where there's an opportunity for me. And what's an opportunity? It's when there's no vig in the market. So a sports book, you know, they charge -110 on either side, or maybe it's baseball and it's, you know, -140 +120. You know, that's the vig. That's why, you know, you lose if you flip a coin, because, you know, you're going to win. You're going to, you know, lose more than you win on average. Right. But if you could get that vig down to zero, then you don't lose anymore. You could flip coins all day long. You're not going to lose. So while any one sports book is never going to show you -140 +140, you can find that between two different sports books, potentially, like on a baseball game. You could find one -140 here and then +140 there. And now all of a sudden there's no vig. And you do that, you could pick whichever team you want. You know, and you have a lot better shot at winning.
And this is why, like, with states opening up, and I mean, some of the states with better regulations now as well, you know, Colorado being one of them, how you can actually take this and apply it is sign up at the sports books, take advantage of the bonus offers, you know, look for an odds screen that displays the odds in real time amongst the different accounts that you have. Look for markets. I mean, if you want to bet sports and never lose, a simple way to do that is to only bet markets where you can look across the screen of your actual outs. And in as example, you know, get -140 on side A, +140 on side B. If every single sports book that you have has -140 +120, well, you're probably going to lose about that 3.7%. If, on the other hand, you've got there 17 sports books in Colorado? I think that
there's a lot.
The Sky Hughes just opened one. And there's seven. I mean, that's crazy. And a lot of these places are going to be trying to take bets. They're going to be trying to compete on price. You know, I think there's a few places in Colorado that are aiming to compete on price, and you put a few of them on a screen or, you know, on your apps and find the market where you can get the same price basically on either side. You can bet forever without losing a dollar. You don't have to know anything.
That nugget alone, just that point about synthetic zero hold is it's not going to make you the greatest sports bettor in the world overnight, but it's certainly going to make you an exponentially better sports bettor. It's going to just improve from the, if you're first starting out reading the book, it's just going to start you at a higher level than you would have otherwise. And if you're a current bettor, like this is, you know, just such a key point. It's in the weeds for some. I hope people grab that. We'll talk about what they're doing now. Deck Prism Sports coming up. Ed Miller, Matthew David Dow, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Logic of Sports Betting is the book written by my guest today, Ed Miller, Matthew David Dow, kind enough to join me once again. Before we get to what you are doing today, there is something else. By the way, Nick Henyon right now, producer, is coming up with a Twitter contest to who can win these two copies of the book, signed copies from Ed and Matthew. And we were just talking off air about how I hope the folks, that there's a large percentage of folks who just listen to your explanation about what we were just talking about with zero hold percentage, synthetic zero hold, and thought to themselves, now I get it. I need to sort of read this. Ultimately, we know there's going to be some percentage that'll be like, yeah, I just want Aaron Rodgers to beat the Cowboys. But to the extent we can sort of drive this home, that there's so many nuggets in this book that will just help you beyond belief in this racket. Before we get to the endeavor today, Ed, I bring you up from time to time on this show. You're probably unaware of this, but more than a few times, when the subject of and I'll give the specific book. It's usually when it comes to William Hill. You and I are sort of aligned on a certain thing here. It's worn as sort of a badge of honor on people's sleeves, if I could just mix metaphors here, that when they get banned from a book like William Hill. And I always have thought to myself, I'm like, that's not what I'm – if I live here in Nevada, that's not what I'm striving for. I don't bet there often. I bet there probably a handful of times a year. But every once in a while, things will come up. It just happens to be William Hill that I'm talking about here because they're specific in this case. But every once in a while, there'll be lines there that I want to rush over and bet. Won't happen every month. Won't happen every few months. But sometimes it happens. And I just want to have the ability to have that out. You, I believe, have a very similar viewpoint on that. You're not trying to get banned. You get the business model and therefore behave accordingly. Is that correct? Have I misquoted you over the years?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the right idea. I mean, I'm not talking about any book in general, but talking more about the, like, badge of honor idea. I mean, I think there's a subset of gamblers that, you know, their ego is kind of tied up in, yes, you know, how smart they are. And the thing about gambling is there's not really, like it's a really solitary thing. Like, the people that I know who have won, you know, literally seven figures or more, I mean, a lot of times they're literally doing it in complete anonymity. They have a small network of people. Sometimes they met on the internet. Sometimes they only know them by handles. You know, sometimes they're halfway across the world. And those are the only people in on the secret that they're these brilliant people that made $1 million. And that just eats at them that they can't tell people how amazing they are. You know, this is my sort of pet gambler psychology thing.
Oh, I could talk about that for an hour.
And I just see it come out in these ways. I just see it come out. Oh, I got banned by, well, congratulations.
Yeah, good for you.
You know, good for you. You got banned by William Hill. I mean, you know, so that's how I see it. Yeah, I agree. I mean, why would you want to get banned by anyone? I mean, you know.
It's such a great – we sort of drifted there into something, though. But we know certain gamblers. We probably know the same ones who have struggled with that, right? I know, you know, and you guys do as well, a spectrum of great gamblers. And there are those that who do remain anonymous that look askance at those whose egos, from their viewpoint, have made them sort of come out in public to say, hey, look at me, I'm really great at this. And those and the truly successful bettors, as you say, many, are in complete anonymity, toil away in a corner of the world. They'll never come on this show, by the way. Good friends of mine, right? Like, hey, will you come on finally? Nah, man, does nothing for me.
The worst are the ones with the big enough egos to write the books.
Yeah.
As far as William Hill... Like, I think if you're a sports book and you're putting up any proposition, any odds, it's a two-way, and the sports book is telling the bettor, you can bet either side of this for the posted limit at any time and get your bet. I think that's like the inherent deal that the sports book is making with the client. And I think when books don't do that, that goes against where we want to be as an industry, against where we want to be as a society, honestly, as far as like embracing sport, embracing odds, predictiveness, gambling. I think that anytime there's, and certainly that's what happens if you're posting propositions with two sides, and if certain players play one of the sides, they either get banned or delayed. So I definitely want to say, I don't think that's not where I want the industry to go. At the same time, what is really the point of playing something that you know is going to get you banned? I mean,
and to exhibit the behavior that you know will get you banned, right? That's part of the game. This is obviously the discussion I want to get to, and we will talk about it. We have to go to break here again. Deca Prism Sports is the name of the company that these two gentlemen, Ed Miller and Matthew David Dow, have co-founded. Wait till you hear what they're doing now. We talked about it a little last time, but it is in full effect now. I know in the state of Colorado and... across the pond. We'll get into that in this wider discussion we're just having right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
A Numbers Game proudly brought to you by Big Lots. This program, of course, not only brought to you by Big Lots, but if you live big and save lots, all you have to do is go to Big Lots store near you and visit biglots.com. Do one or the other. Big Lots, live big, save lots, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Nick Henyon, producer this week. How are we giving away the logic of sports betting? What are we doing?
We are going to do a Twitter contest on the VSiN live feed, and we will have it retweeted from the Beating the Book feed as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to put out a tweet about 8 a.m. Pacific time. Look for it around then. And we want to hear from you. What's the best sports gambling advice you've received since the time you started sports gambling? Our two favorite responses will win signed copies of Matt and Ed's book.
We're judge and jury on that? None.
Of course we are, yeah.
All right. Now people are going to start doing it now, not at 8 o'clock, now that you mentioned it. All right, well, we'll do it officially starting at 8 o'clock. Ed Miller, Matthew, David Dow are my guests here again this morning. Yes, the authors of The Logic of Sports Betting. But what takes most of your time now, if not all of your time, is Deck Prism Sports. You explained to me last time, and for those who didn't know, Deck Prism, the crystal in a old-timey sailboat, adding light to the darkness. What was your expression?
Right light then? To the darkness, exactly. Yeah.
That makes no sense. No, but it in your explanation before, it did. It was sort of a guiding light to it.
So before electricity,
yeah,
the holds of the ships would obviously not have much light, and the deck prism is literally a prism,
yep,
with different angles of glass that would sit in the way between the sun and the hold that would spread more light across the entirety of the interior of the ship.
And what is it that you guys do, deck prism, in-game stuff primarily, but all kinds of betting offerings?
Right. So we're basically offering what we call managed trading services. That's what the industry calls it. Basically, we operate the line. We basically provide sportsbook operators with a line set that they can offer to their customers. So, when a sportsbook operator, someone could say, hey, I want to start a sportsbook, but, I don't know how the heck to make lines on 27 different games and props and all this stuff. What do I do? And basically they could come to a company like ours and say, hey, can you provide me with, up to the second lines that I can offer to my customers?
And you're up and running?
Yeah, we have a complete product all the way from pre-match through, but where we really are heads and tails, we think, above our competition is the in-play. We have an in-play product that anybody can use without a delay. I mean, one thing I know that we've been talking about recently is how bad delay is in general, especially for in-running. And our product is built for a sportsbook to operate with zero delay.
Can we show the David Behrman tweet that we put up yesterday, David Behrman over from ESPN? This struck me yesterday. I put it up. I'm like, oh, this is perfect lead up for Ed and Matthew tomorrow. But he experienced what so many of us have experienced so many times in faraway places when we're in-game wagering. David Behrman, why America needs better technology in the betting world. He bet Morikawa, Colin Morikawa, the Charles Schwab, live at +930 after the second hole Sunday, the final round. Rejected, 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 rejected. It's five rejecteds, by the way. Fine, give up. And he's just sort of expressing his frustration. This is exactly what you seek to eradicate, right? That in a nutshell.
With our product, you press the button at +930, you get to bet every single time.
So now, when you were writing The Logic of Sports Betting, I understand that this was probably you probably thought bigger things beyond that. You already said 7 years ago you started modeling this kind of thing together. Let me put it this way. I hope you don't take it wrong. Why were you guys so confident that you were the ones to do this best?
But the models that we were using were already being used in the market. We were already, selling them to syndicates. They were tried and true, whereas everybody else's were 10-second delays.
So you syndicates were using your model. Mm-hmm. Are they still up, by the way? Are still available at Deck Prism? Online, can better still access that or no longer?
There's no more odds on the website for many, many reasons. We wanted to get our name out there, obviously. We wanted to show us, create publicity. More than anything, just all of our focus right now as a company is in our product, which is the one that the sportsbooks are actually using. So if we were using the same time and effort to put them up on the website for free, that would kind of go against that.
Yeah. How many, that's right. Basically, since you're up and running now, before we were talking prior to your launch, I think in August last year was the launch. Mm-hmm. You're in Colorado. You're in Europe somewhere too. Is that correct?
We're not in Europe. We have a deal with a Latin American sports book.
Okay. I expect to be in Europe though during football season and at least one and hopefully a number of places in Colorado and elsewhere in the U.S.
Nevada, already too entrenched in what they're doing for you to sort of engage right now, would you say?
We would love to get into Nevada. I mean, there's some special regulatory hurdles that Nevada has that states like Colorado don't have. Colorado has. I just give a shout out to Colorado. They've been fantastic so far. Their regulatory, everything dealing with them has been terrific.
It's been intuitive.
Yeah, it's been very intuitive. You know, Nevada's got more regulatory hurdles. So that's kind of what immediately stands in the way of us and providing lines to Nevada. But we would love to, and we love, I mean, obviously we live here. We love it here. We love the books here. We know a lot of the people here, and, you know, hopefully we'll figure that out soon.
I don't think you would give away the farm here on this, but is there a 30-second pitch that you give to sort of convey why what you do might be better than someone else? Let's say there's someone else that is providing these sorts of odds to syndicates and elsewhere. Maybe they've shown some value. What would you say to people is why we are a cut above without giving away a farm on this?
I think that the major thing that separates our company, the way we approach things from other companies, I'm sure there's plenty of places out there that are really doing good work these days, but we've managed to bring the modeling, the software development, and the trading aspect, you know, all in one. Whereas I think that a lot of operators are looking for more of a plug-and-play model, hoping one model solves everything. We're able to bring the automation right up to the point where a real expert can actually add his expertise in real time to the automation and get it to the next level.
Okay. Turnkey in that way, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were talking, and we'll get to this because we got to take one more break here, but you were saying right before we came on that it's not only the spin that we were just talking about from David Behrman's tweet that you hope to solve. What in 20 seconds was the other thing that you said that you also are attempting to solve? I missed it.
The main idea to me is that, you know, in-play betting is fun when you know that what you're looking at is the bet you're going to get. And that's what we want to offer to our customers.
Yeah, Captain Jack pointed out something with the Oregon lottery, how someone was trying to get minus 110 on something, got minus 150. Everybody else was getting dealt minus 110. Those of us who have bet for a long time, very familiar with that sort of thing. We'll find out more about Deck Prism, Ed Miller, Matthew, David Dow, coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game, also brought to you by Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSiN at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN. It's Gil Alexander, Ed Miller, Matthew David Dow, authors of The Logic of Sports Betting, available where all books are sold still. Or Amazon.
Isn't that where all books are sold?
It's pretty much. It's getting there, yeah.
I can't tell you how many Amazon trucks I passed on the way from San Francisco to Vegas on the drive. What has been the most, last thing about the book, what has been the most surprising thing about this book? Have you gotten any feedback anecdotally where you're like, oh, I didn't expect to hear that at all?
I mean, the thing I appreciate the most is how many non-gamblers have picked up this book, you know, are industry adjacent and have been like, wow, I learned a lot. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we were talking off air a little bit about, you know, I've had some state legislators reach out to me and say, hey, you know, we're researching this
awesome.
To legalize it in our state. And I read a book and I really learned a lot. And to me, that's the feedback I've appreciated.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Casting a wide net with it. By the way, on VSiN Live, Nick, it's up. People who want a signed copy by both Ed and Matthew, The Logic of Sports Betting, check out at VSiN Live right now on Twitter and respond there. Okay, so right before the break, and I sort of jammed you up against the break, but you wanted to explain the spin in a different way. You had a sort of macro way of
so a lot of people look at the delays and they think, well, if something happens in the game state, you know, that's what the delay is for. You know, me and, you know, as a gambler and other gamblers, I look at the delay a little bit differently. I look at it a lot like, you know, you're placing an extreme example of this was you're going to place your NFL bets on Sunday morning. And you place NFL bets Sunday morning, right, Gil?
Sunday morning, but also I thought you meant Sunday.
Monday morning.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Monday morning. The beginning of the week.
Monday.
So
correct.
The lines come out. You're like, that line should be 7. It's 5 now. That line should be 10. It's 7 now. You place your bets on Monday. So even a 5-second delay in play at any time. It's just a microcosm of the problem of, let's assume you place all of your bets on Monday morning. You walk over there to the South Point ticket writer. You say, I want the Cowboys -7. I want the Steelers +10. I want the Packers +3. And he takes those tickets. He says, of course, sir. Let me just, you know, set them here. And, you know, sometime later this week when the spin is done, I'll let you know if you have your bets. Now, Thursday comes around and, well, you know, Packers +3 is now +2.5. Sorry, Gil, would you like to take the 2.5 or would you like this one back? Meanwhile, Cowboys +10 has now gone to 12. Well, what do you know? +10's already in your account. You better hope they don't lose by 11. To me, the delay, the 5 seconds, 10 seconds is just a much smaller.
Yeah, it's the exact same.
Right.
And sometimes they argue, oh, well, you know, let's say on the ones that move against you, you know, they give you the. They're like, oh, we'll give you the bet at the current price, you know, but they're still, you know, they're still looking at your bets. They're saying, okay, these five are good bets, rejected. These five were bad bets, and they either accept them as is, or maybe they generously give you the -110 at the current market price.
Yeah.
But either way, what they're doing is they're looking at all of the bets that you're making, and they're selectively rejecting the ones that were good, you know, and that's what the delay is about, you know.
And this happens even if someone's actually not looking at the bets, rejecting it. I mean, in my example, remember, he just set them on the counter and then looked at them later. He didn't think about them. He didn't say, oh, this one's no good, this one's good. He just took the ones where your line was still available on Thursday.
Right.
And that's the same thing that happens live, even on a, you know, even on a 5 second delay.
A much more vivid way of describing this. Now, I know I get 10 lashes for this, but this has what you're doing is what laymen have described as the pinnacle model, right? I know you don't enjoy it.
I just tweeted about this yesterday.
I know you hate this term. But okay, so let me ask you this. So we know our good friends over at Circa they don't have an algorithm. They're trying to, you know, in many ways give bettors as legit an offering in game as you guys are. Do you worry? By the way, are you familiar with Mustard Bet at all?
I've heard the name.
Okay. Andrew Giroud, who was the lead developer of the Midas algorithm about 10 years ago, was a British derivatives trader, eventually became the CEO of Mustard Bet. He attempted to do this, and was like, all smart bettors, come on, we're going to make this as, you know, great and a betting experience, talking about all the things you're talking about here as possible. They didn't end up working out. Do you ever think to yourself, as well-intentioned as you are, that it's just so hard to compete in a world where there's, you know, a much, you know, there's a new gambling generation that doesn't know better. And as hard as we try to educate, you guys especially try to educate, that a new generation is going to be sucked in by any gambling offerings. And even though what might be better for them over here is just going to get trumped by marketing dollars on the
for
other
sure.
side.
For sure. But why can't you have both, Gil? Why can't you have the brand, the marketing, and the product?
Right.
That's why
right.
we don't like the term pinnacle model, because the product and the branding, there's nothing that has to tie these two things together. There's no reason that, I mean, Circa is crushing it on branding, for instance.
Yeah.
There's no reason that a company like Circa, and they're doing it already, can't combine branding with product. There's no rule that says, well, if you brand well, that means you need to laser kick everybody out. There's nowhere in the gambling books does it say that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the fundamental. That's why this, you know, conversation always, you know, just drives me crazy.
why I started with the 10 lashes.
Yeah, it's like a complete false dichotomy. I mean, everyone's like, you gotta either, to me, what's the right idea? The right idea is to build the best customer experience.
Yeah.
You know, what's the best customer experience? Well, part of that is having an amazing sports book, having, you know, setting, you know, bonuses where they can, you know, go see the Cowboys game. I mean, all the stuff that, you know, people associate with the kind of recreational stuff. And it's having a better product. It's having a product that works better for real gamblers. I mean, to me, that's what a better customer experience is. It's both.
Right. No, I don't think anybody would disagree that both things in a perfect world could coexist, right?
Right.
It's not a dichotomy. It's not a binary choice by any stretch. But you would acknowledge, maybe you wouldn't, I think you might, though, that with the margins you would have, it's tougher to sustain the business over something that's obviously egregious, like you're up against that in terms of it's just harder for you to maybe not to scale it. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think at some point that the math is going to change from I want my 10% hold, not to my 5% hold, to wait a second, you know, 5% of 100 million is more than 10% of 10 million.
Yeah. Well, boy, I hope so. Yeah. And by the way, I hope you're not taking this any. Yeah.
And we're a technology company. I mean, yeah. Our focus is to build the technology to enable an operator to offer this to their customers. So let's say there's a technology let's say there's an operator that is crushing it on branding. Let's say it's Circa. I mean, Circa's doing a great job. Let's say it's someone else. It's an operator that says, you know what piece we're missing? We're missing this part of the customer experience. You know, that's who can come to us, and we can basically provide a ready solution for them.
Is that what would you say is your number one challenge? Is it somewhere in that area, or is it something else?
I think our number one challenge is getting the entire product, you know, nailed. And
yeah.
if the only advantage you have as a company is your product's better, well, by goodness, it better be so much better. And that's, you know, we're getting it from this much better and making sure it's, you know, I'm on the radio here moving my hands, but you get the idea.
That's all right. People are watching as well. Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus. But I mean, you said it's not industry specific to this, right? You said it, Matthew, which is, If this was a meritocracy, if the world was one big meritocracy, the world would be so much different, right? Sadly, so much of what we experience in life, if not all, is not based on merit. It's based on so many other factors. And so, you know, I think it's fascinating. It's such a huge endeavor that you've undertaken and really is probably, I mean, you guys have moved from thing to thing. I would imagine is there an act after this, or is this kind of what you guys are singularly focused on for the duration.
For right now, this is more than enough.
Yeah.
You know, we're grinding away at it, and I think what we're doing is good, and we're going to see where this goes.
How many employees do you have now?
What's the
17?
17 employees. Yeah. Good for you guys, man. You're doing great work, man. And to the extent that we can promote everything you're doing, Colorado is a phenomenal jurisdiction with the rules. Would you say that that's the best in the country so far? New Jersey obviously has done very well. Would you say Colorado is the most favorable?
I mean, I'm not an expert, but it's got to be up there. It could be number one. You know, I haven't looked at all the rules and regulations. It's more for the lawyer to do.
Let me put that a different way. What are you eyeing? Like, what's the big, you know, what's the big one to drop in the future? What is the, is it California?
I mean, California.
That would be.
And I think that this all could come faster now than maybe, you know, than maybe a year ago with the current political climate and, you know, states looking for budget. And I think there's real opportunity. I mean, we mentioned Circa before, and I mean, there's real opportunity for a company like that with the, you know, the right branding, the right product to really drive a wedge into the current, I'll call it Eurocentric part of the U.S. industry.
That's right. The Eurocentric part of the industry. Is that what drives you the most crazy? Last question.
Go ahead. I think in America we have a deep-seated gambling culture. I've spent 20 years with American gamblers, and sometimes I have to say what I hear coming out of Europe rings a little hollow to me. I think they kind of don't get us. So I want an American gambling company that knows Americans to succeed here.
Kind of don't get us. You know, I was doing work with Jay Root over at MGM when he was at MGM, VP of Race and Sports over there for many years. And, you know, Euro influence came in there. It was not only they don't get the American, but sort of an arrogance. Do you find that arrogance is waning at all or only increasing? If you agree,
we don't have our nose quite to the grindstone enough on that, but I will say it is certainly our passion to bring a fairness first, American centric, you know, to make the American sports market markedly different than the European market. That's our passion. We say, is this the, you know, are we going to end with this? Well, I mean, this is going to continue whether, you know, with us or, you know, with our, you know, another company. Somebody is going to do this and do it well.
Deck Prism is the name of the company. Perhaps at a sports book near you already as we speak. The book, The Logic of Sports Betting, giving away a couple copies at VSiN Live on Twitter. Ed Miller, Matthew, David Dow, thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.